If you've driven by any time in the last 2 weeks, you notice that the message is called I Don't Understand. Let me tell you what was going on 2 weeks ago when that message went up. On Monday morning, Charlie Elwell, who is Debbie Davis's father, passed away after we had been praying for him. On Monday morning, two of my coworkers lost their house to a fire. On Tuesday morning, Charlotte Rumsey, who we've been visiting in the nursing home for 4 years and had been praying for her regularly for 4 years, passed away. On Wednesday afternoon, I found out that the mother of another friend of mine had passed away. And I seriously had the thought that every person I pray for is dying. What is going on? I don't understand. So Wednesday night when we were over here for Bible study, I put up for the sign for the message. Wednesday night, everything was fine. Thursday, went to work. Thursday night, met up with our brother and sister-in-law. Got home back to the camper late Thursday night. The phone rings to tell me that my father had died. Question's still the same. How do we deal with things where things do not seem to make sense? It's a common question. Many authors have written books about when God doesn't make sense. But the thing of it is, we absolutely know that not one of us get out of here alive. You know? I heard some of the debate about health care not too terribly long ago, and the question was asked, what's the death rate in the United States? Anybody want to venture a guess? What's the death rate in the United States?
100%.
There you go. Exactly. 100%. Every last one of us dies. And I've talked before about when I first moved to Vermont, I rented a room from a woman named Luella Cattell. Luella Cattell was born the year that St. Albans City was founded. And for the city's 100th birthday and her 100th birthday, they commissioned in the Historical Society, they included a copy of her classroom because she used to be a school teacher. And they invited her in to see it. And as she came in, she looked at the room and says, oh no, this is all wrong. That needs to be over there, that needs to be over there. And made them rearrange everything at 100 years of age. I met her, she was 102. She ran a boarding house. The difference between a boarding house and a rooming house is in a rooming house, you rent a room. In a boarding house, you rent a bed in a room. So I rented a bed in a room for about 2 weeks when I first moved up. And I came home from work one day and found this 102-year-old lady on her hands and knees scrubbing the kitchen floor with a washcloth. Short little thing. She couldn't have been like 4'6". Really, really amazing woman. Lived to be 102. We had a grandson that lived to be 2 weeks. Everyone goes. Everyone goes. No one gets out alive. You go through the Bible, some people had to die twice. Lazarus, up, down, up, yeah. Some of the guys in the Old Testament, we'll just toss him in on the prophet's bones, you know, that sort of thing. People raised. But every last one of us dies. We don't know the answers. But as we see our circumstances, as we focus on our circumstances, as we focus on things that are going on around us, the downside of that is sometimes we take our eyes off of God. So in Psalm 116, beginning with verse 1, the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Psalmist says, when I call to the Lord, he hears me. When I call to the Lord in the midst of turmoil and in the midst of trouble, He hears me. When I call to the Lord in good situations, He hears me. Verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Do we ever feel like we're brought low? Do we ever feel like we're overwhelmed with circumstances? God is able to lift us up in the midst of that. It doesn't always happen on my timeline. It probably doesn't always happen on your timeline either. But God is faithful that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we are going through, He has not forgotten us. He has not left us alone. He is still at work. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the serpent comes along and says, you'll not surely die. God knows that when you eat of it, you will become as God. You will have the answers. Who has all the answers? No. Yeah. Okay, so the goal is to not get beaten by your wife in the midst of church, okay? Just want to throw that out there. Okay. The Lord preserves the simple. That's probably a good thing. Continuing on, verse 7, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. This is the same psalm where it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Every last one of us goes through things. And it is very easy sometimes to become overwhelmed. I told you what I was facing 2 weeks ago. I told you the things that were going on. And just had that thought. And it kind of scared me. You know, when I didn't want to pray for people because everybody I prayed for died. But everybody dies anyway at one point. I can remember when Rich Ballard, when his sister was going through cancer, and I was absolutely certain. I knew in my heart of hearts that God was going to heal her. I knew it. God did not heal her the way I thought he was going to. She is no longer suffering. But I thought, sure, he was going to raise her up. I remember that. I'm just devastated. Sometimes you go to pray for people and you're just absolutely sure God is going to do a miraculous thing. Other times you go to pray for, I don't know about you, I go to pray for people and I got like no feeling whatsoever about this. I'm praying for them because that's what the Bible tells me I'm supposed to do. Sometimes I just don't know. Don't have a clue what's going to happen. But this was one of those times I was sure, absolutely positive, that God was going to heal her, God was going to raise her up. And it didn't work out that way. We don't know what God is doing. We get the overall view. God has our good in mind. We get that God has plans for us that are for our good and not for a calamity, not for evil. That God has a purpose for us. But we sometimes, as we view things, as we view our circumstances, we take our eyes off the fact that God knows the end from the beginning. We take our eyes off the fact that we are already promised in Scripture that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. And because we get our eyes off of that, all we see is the calamity. All we see is the turmoil. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get discouraged. We're not the only ones to ever get discouraged. You ever heard of this guy named Jeremiah? The weeping prophet? Praise God, I don't have a testimony like Jeremiah. I've never been stuck in the sewer. Literally stuck in the sewer in prison. Not my idea of a good place to be. The things Jeremiah went through, things some of the other prophets went through. Things Jesus went through. Things the disciples went through. People go through things each and every day. Even the things our brothers and sisters around us, people that we know, have gone through. We go through devastating things. But God is still at work. In Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, or verse 9 rather, excuse me. You're talking about the opening of the seals. And he opens the fifth seal. And I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. Think about that. Crying out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, until you avenge our death?" And God says, "Wait a minute, there's a few more to be added to your number." How does that fit in with a God that loves us and cares for us? And the answer has to be that we don't have all the answers. We don't have the perspective that God has. We don't see the end from the beginning. We see things from our own lens. And we know this. We encounter it regularly. But sometimes we allow ourselves to forget it, or at least I do. Maybe you don't. But at least I do. Because I get wrapped up from time to time in the things that are going on in the moment, the things that are going on in the circumstances. And I take my eyes off the fact that God is above the circumstances and is working. And is working. Job. We've talked about Job before. Job, as he has lost everything, and his wife says, "Do you still keep your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die?" He says, "You speak as a foolish woman. Shall not the Lord give and take away?" We sing that in the song today. Praise the God who gives and takes away. We don't understand the things that are going on. But Job says down in chapter 19, down in verse 25, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me." In the midst of everything that Job had going on, the wife telling him to curse God and die, having lost his family, having lost his wealth, having lost his health with the boils, sitting in the pile of ashes, scraping himself with broken pottery, friends all around him telling him he should just confess to the wicked that he's done, he's like, "I haven't done it. I don't know what you're talking about, but I haven't done it." And in the midst of that, in the midst of all that turmoil, he says, "And I still know that my Redeemer lives. I still know that in my flesh I will see God. I still know that no matter what else is going on, God is at work in my life, and I'm going to see Him. I'm going to see His hand at work. I'm going to see Him face to face. I'm going to come into the presence of a holy God." Recognize that in the midst of everything that was going on. Job had that testimony. He had that thought. He had that focus in his life. He said, "I'd like to talk to him right now because I'm pretty sure that I'm being accused for things I haven't done. I don't know why he won't answer. I don't know why I'm going through the things that I'm going through. But I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that in my flesh I will see God. I know it." We take our focus off the things that God is doing in our lives. Back in Psalm 116, where we first started, verse 1 says, "I love the Lord, for He has heard my voice and my supplications." God has been paying attention to the things that God has heard me cry out. Maybe He didn't answer in my timeline. Maybe He didn't do the things I thought He was going to do. Maybe it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to. But I know that God has heard me. He has heard my voice and my supplication. Therefore, I will call upon his name as long as I live. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy, in chapter 1, starting at verse 7, Paul reminds him, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." God has given us love, power, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of obstacles, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of difficult times, he is still with us, has still gifted us. He said, it doesn't matter what comes upon us. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before time began. But who has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know to whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. On the inside of your bulletin, there's a quote from Jim Elliot. And it's not the usual quote you hear. Because the usual quote you hear from Jim Elliot says, "He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Anybody know who Jim Elliot was? He was a missionary to the headhunters. But the other quote there in your bulletin says, "The will of God is always a bigger thing than we bargain for. But we must believe that whatever it involves, it is good, acceptable, and perfect." When we recognize that God is the one who sees the end from the beginning, he is the one that's been at work in us before we ever were. He's the one that's been at work in our circumstances and guiding and directing our steps back generations. You go looking through the genealogy of Jesus and you find Rahab the harlot and you find Ruth the Moabitess and you find Tamar and you find wicked people, wicked kings, and you find turmoil and you find murderers and you find adulterers, and you find messed up people all back through the years. And yet still, it comes out through the genealogy of Jesus. I've told many of you, about a couple of years ago, Deb and I were on our way back from Missouri. We had been out there for our anniversary. We'd gone to Branson, and on the way back, we had asked the Lord for traveling mercies. We had asked God to guide us. And I was worried about storms near the Great Lakes. Because it's middle of November, we're coming home. There are sometimes storms up there that make that difficult. And we had been praying the whole way and listening to the radio and trying to get weather reports and couldn't get any weather reports about it. And finally, we're a little east of... we're east of Columbus, Ohio, but Akron maybe. We're a little east of Akron, and we stop. We just get off the highway to go to the bathroom. We have plenty of fuel. We don't need fuel, but it's time for a bathroom break. And as we get off the highway, this is a cloverleaf at the highway. Three of the four corners has a gas station. We go to pull into a gas station. A vehicle pulls in just in front of us with Vermont plates. These are the first Vermont plates we have seen in 12 days. So I just wave to the people. They stop at the fuel pump. I wave to them, go over and park. to go talk to them for just a minute. And they had just been coming down. They lived in Hinesburg, over south of Burlington. And we're going to visit their son in Cincinnati. Now, we're 10, 12 hours away from Vermont at that point, and it's early in the morning. So they either left the night before and stopped, or the day before and stopped somewhere, or they got up really, 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 really early. But they were 5 seconds ahead of us pulling into the gas pumps. And they said, be really careful going through Erie because there's been nasty storms up there. We had been praying, asking the Lord for traveling mercy, trying to find out anything. And all of a sudden I hear this scripture, before you call, I will answer. And then I started thinking, how much before we call did God answer? Because these people had come from at least 10 hours away. But the only reason they were going through there in the first place was because their son's in Cincinnati, and he'd been there for a few years. So in order for the person, for them to meet us, it had to be 4 years prior, but then the son had to be born and grow up. How far in advance does God know what's going on in our lives? We can't even count that. We can't even measure that. When the circumstances arise that we don't understand, when things come up in our lives that seem to be overwhelming, when situations just don't make any sense, God is still at work and has been for quite a while because he loves us and he cares for us and he's working in us. It is God that works. I told my brother this last night. It is God that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, to want to and to be able to do the things that God has called you for. Paul said at one point, what do you have that you haven't been given? Everything we have is a gift of God. And everything is designed by God for his plans and purpose. Praise the Lord. The will of God is always a bigger thing than we bargained for. But we must believe that whatever it involves, it is good and acceptable and perfect. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who does see the end from the beginning. You are the one, Father, who is at work in our hearts, in our lives, in our circumstances. Lord, even when we see the turmoil going on around us and we don't understand the things that are happening, even, Father, as we face pain of loss, even, Lord, as we face difficult times, regardless of what they are, you are still God over all. You are still at work, and you have already promised to cause it to work together for good. We may not understand that. We may not see it happening. We may not even see it this side of heaven. But we stand in faith, knowing, Lord, that you are faithful. We call upon you. And you have heard our voice. And because we know that you hear, and we know that you answer prayers, and we know, Father, that you are involved, Lord, we trust you. Lord, we just give you the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name.